Thank you for joining us for today's podcast. Listen after the podcast for more information about TPC DeQuincy.
Thank all of you again for being in the house of the Lord. I just think it would be fitting if we go to the Lord in prayer and ask God to touch the Marksville Pentecostal Church. I'm sure all of you have heard by now they lost five of their children in a van accident. An 18-wheeler come across the road and hit their van and killed five of their children. And, you know, if that was us and five of our kids here this morning, this church would be very low, very, very, very low. And so I want to always put myself in another person's position and think of them and how I would feel. I can't imagine how I would feel. But I know this church, if this was us, we would want somebody praying for us. So would you take a minute and would you just pray with me for the Marksville Pentecostal Church? Lord, we just come to you this morning. Our hearts are saddened by this tragic news. Lord, we just pray for this pastor and his wife and that leadership team and everyone who calls that church their home church. I pray for these families, these mom and dads and grandparents and aunts and uncles, and just, Lord, literally everyone that is connected, their friends, their school. We just pray for them, and we pray for the grace of God to abide upon them. And we know that words, Lord, are very shallow, but your grace is very deep. And so let your grace cover them and comfort them. And that's our prayer in the wonderful name of our Lord. And Father, I just pray for the next couple of minutes that you anoint my mind and my mouth and help me to speak word that would add value to the people of God. And let this word sink deep in our heart and in time bring change to our spirit. And for that, Lord, we give you thanks and praise. Everybody say amen. If you have your Bibles, you can go to the book of Luke chapter 18. And then you can just hold it open there. And God bless you. You can be seated. I want to begin to talk to you, and I want to give you a little background of the story we're going to look at today. This is a story about a blind man, and even though that this particular passage doesn't tell us his name in Luke 18, Mark does. And so Mark tells us that this blind man's name is Bartimaeus. So I want to give you a little background here. This is the very last week now of Jesus. This is his last week, and he's traveling now south to Jerusalem. And as he travels south to Jerusalem, Jericho is a little bit above Jerusalem. And so he goes to Jericho and he goes to the city gates. And at the city gates at that time in history, that's where the blind and the beggars would be. They would be at the city gates because these people would be, they would be the recipients of other people's generosity and mercy. So here is blind Bartimaeus. He's at the city gates, and he's there, and he's blind. And at that time in history, if you were blind, you were basically on the lowest status level. You were just basically at the mercy of anyone that would have pity upon you. And it was really a very miserable life. So I want you to look at Luke 18, and I want you to look at verse 35. And it says this: "Then it happened, as he was coming near Jericho," this is speaking about Jesus, "that a certain blind man sat by the road begging." Now, like blind Bartimaeus, I want to take this story and I want to begin to just share some things in my spirit. And I see that in this day and age, many people are like Bartimaeus. Yes, they have natural sight, but they don't have vision. And Helen Keller, who was a famous philanthropist, and she was a blind lady, she said this. Somebody asked her, what is worse than being blind? And she simply replied, having sight but having no vision. It's a very powerful statement. And I just don't think, ladies and gentlemen, as now we're in the first Sunday of this new year, I just don't believe that God wants us to drift through this new year. I just don't think that God wants us to just have natural sight, but not to have vision. Because I'm going to tell you something. It all really depends on your vision. The way you see your future is the way you're going to live your future. I'm going to say that again. The way you see your future is the way you're going to live your future. In fact, your success, your strength, your stability, your stress level are all dependent on how you see your life, how you see God, how you see yourself. It's all about vision. And some of you are like, well, you know, Pastor, I don't see it. And that can really be a problem. Because when you say, I don't see how I'm going to get out of debt, then guess what? If you don't see it, most likely you're not going to obtain it. I just don't see how my marriage can get any better than what it is. If you don't see your marriage getting better, then can I tell you the sad scenario? Your marriage is probably not going to get better. If you don't see yourself, you know what, as coming out of this, I know I'm in this, but I'm coming out, and you see yourself coming out, then you're probably going to stay stuck in an old rut and in an old pattern of thinking and in an old routine. If you say, you know what, I just don't see how I'm ever going to reach my dream, then guess what? You're probably never going to reach it. You know why? Because you just stated it. You just stated, I don't see it. Can I get a witness? So here's the first step. Here's what I want to talk about this morning. How do I get my vision back? I may have lost it in 2018. How do I get it back? I'm in a new year. What do I do? Here's the number one thing you need to do. You've got to believe that Jesus can change your situation. I come to preach to you this morning. If you're quiet, that's fine, but I'm coming to preach to you. You got to believe, number one, in 2019, I went through a lot of junk in 2018, but this is what I still have. I still know that the Lord can change my situation. Regardless of where I find myself, He can change it. If you do not have hope, you don't have power to cope. I'm going to say that again. If you don't have hope, you don't have the power to cope. And what Bartimaeus did is he believed that Jesus could change his situation. And you don't need hope in anything else right now because the government is going to let you down. Trust me, Trump will let you down. The Congress is going to let you down. Even your job can do that. You got to make sure that you are anchored in hope to the right things that will not deteriorate, that are not here today and gone tomorrow. But it is Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. You got to make sure that you put your hope. Come on, somebody. Now look, if you will, at verse 36 and verse 37. And hearing a multitude passing by ask, what meaneth this? And so they told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And he cried out, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Now I want you to imagine this. There's a lot of guys around. There could have been hundreds of people at that city gate. There's hundreds of people there. And then Bartimaeus, he just says, hey, check this out. Jesus, he just probably screams it. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. Now let's get honest. Most likely, The majority of you would probably not stand up in a crowd this size of hundreds of people and start going, "Hey, you, notice me." Basically, Bartimaeus was saying, "Hey, earth to Jesus, I'm here. I'm here." Most of you probably in a million years would not think of getting up and saying something that would bring attention to yourself. But let me tell you something. This wasn't a cry. I've often thought this was a cry of desperation. But I changed my philosophy on this. I think it's a cry of hope. I really have. I've looked at this and I think this is a cry of hope. It's not desperation. Probably Bartimaeus has heard that Jesus has healed others. Word travels. And he had probably heard that Jesus had healed others. And he was like, "I can't allow my answer to be this close and miss it." I think it was not a voice of desperation. I think it was a voice of hope. And he was crying out, "Jesus is my hope. I believe that he can change my situation." Friends, I could stop right here and preach for the next 30 minutes on you got to have hope to cope. And if you've lost your hope, you're in the right place, because the Lord Jesus is in here. And I'm here to tell you that he said he would never leave you. He would never forsake you. I don't know what you're going through, but I'm here to tell you, get a hold of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is hope in your life. And no matter what you may be facing, I'm here to encourage you. There is hope in this house. Look at three people and tell them there's hope in Jesus. Tell them like you mean it. You know why most people are down? Is because they've lost hope. And the reason they've lost hope is they're putting it in the wrong source. People are thinking, "Well, man, if I could just get into this relationship. Or if I could just meet that person. Man, if I could just have this happen to me." And they're putting their hope in all kinds of different things. There's only one source, ladies and gentlemen, and it's not the internet, and it's not even a relationship. It's not a person. It's not a trick. It's not a therapy. It's only in God. It's only in God. Here's what 1 Peter 1:21 says. It's at the end of the verse, but it says this: "And so that your faith and hope are in God." Brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you, please do not put your hope in people. Listen, I'm going to tell you, most pastors won't tell you this, but I'm going to tell you this. Please do not put your pastor or leaders on a pedestal. They're people just like you are. The only thing that makes them a little different is just the calling and the anointing to do that calling. But they're still people. If you put your hope in a man, you're going to be disappointed. Because God's going to let you know, "I am a jealous God, and beside me there is none other." And he's going to allow every person to disappoint you, including me, so that you keep your eyes on Jesus and realize that my hope does not come from a man. It doesn't come from a pastor, priest, or prophet. My hope comes from the Lord. Only God can bring me out of this, but the good news, he can. God can make a difference in your life and in your situation. Do I have a witness here? Okay, so here's the key. The key to getting your vision back is, number one, you've got to believe that Jesus can change the situation, and he can do it now. Here's the second thing. You've got to ignore. Everybody say ignore. Look at your neighbor and tell them this. Say ignore the negative voices. Oh, that's pitiful. That's downright pitiful. Look at your neighbor and tell them you've got to ignore the negative voices. There you go. You know what? Most people go through life without vision. And guess what? Because they go through life without vision, they don't want you to have any. But if you're going to break out of the pack, so to speak, what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to disregard the people around you who say, who do you think you are? Who are you kidding? You can't do that. Forget that dream. You're never going to be better. Your marriage is never going to be better. You're never going to come out of this. Listen, love people, but you got to disregard the negative voices around you. You got to disregard that. See, there are naysayers who are going to criticize and suggest to you that for you to have vision is actually stupid. Serious. That's just stupid. If you listen to them, the negative voices, they're going to fill you with anxiety and fear and doubts about yourself. One of the greatest fears that people fall into is the fear of disapproval. Now, if you fear the disapproval of others, you will never, ever have God's vision for your life. Why? Because you can't please God and please everybody else at the same time. You've got to decide who you're going to live for. Are you going to live for an audience of your peers? Or are you going to live for an audience of one? Because you can't please both. And if you please God, it doesn't matter who you displease. And if you please all of them, but you displease him, then it doesn't matter anyway. Can I get a witness? See, so Bartimaeus started shouting out. He started shouting out. And guess what? Nobody likes that. Nobody likes that. But look at verse 39. Here's what they did. The Bible says in verse 39, it says, they rebuked him. We're in Luke 18, verse 39. And they told him to be quiet. Guess what he did? But he shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. The crowd is basically saying to Bartimaeus, shut up. Jesus is not interested in people like you. You are the low of the lowest. You're a blind beggar. So just shut up. People aren't interested in people like you. Jesus is not. And you know what? If people don't say that, here's what I found out. The devil does. If people don't actually say that, the devil does. The devil will say to you, you know, well, guess what? God may be interested in a missionary. He may be interested in a sweet little old saint like Sister June, but he ain't interested in you. You ain't Jack. I mean, you ain't done Jack. He ain't interested in you. That's exactly what the devil will tell you. Man, I wish I had three honest folk in here. Come on. Come on, somebody. Come on now. And guess what? Even if you don't, even if he doesn't speak that to you, you know what you do? You're your own worst enemy, and you'll talk yourself out of it. You'll talk negative thoughts in your own mind. Well, I could never go there. I could never earn that. I could never run that company. I could never do that. Man, I don't have the education. Are y'all with me? So let me ask you a question. I'm going to ask you a question. You with me? Whose disapproval do you fear the most in your life? Who would you be the most afraid to be rejected by? Answer that question. Because whoever that is, that's your God. And when anybody is a God in your life other than God with the big G, that's called an idol. And anytime you fear anyone's disapproval more than God's, then guess what? They're your God. So if you can't step out and worship, guess what? People are your gods. If you're afraid to say amen in church because you're afraid of what somebody's going to say, then guess what? You just made them your God, little g, and that's now become your idol. Anytime you're afraid and you say, well, you know what? I can't step out because if I step out when we have the invitation, somebody may think I'm a sinner. Guess what? God's not your God. People are your God because you're afraid of them and what they're going to say. You've just made people your idol. Can I get a witness here in this house? Come on, ladies and gentlemen. That's why there's so many people that don't have any hope because they're stuck in a rut thinking. If I really went after my dream, what would my boyfriend think? If I really went after my goal and my vision, what would my wife think? What would my husband think? What would my friends think? What would my church family think? What would they all think? Some of you sweet people, your daddy told you you would never amount to anything. He called you stupid. You're stupid. And guess what? You believe that garbage. I know that's your dad, and I understand that's your mom, and maybe your relatives, but they spoke that mess into your life, and guess what? You accepted it as the truth. That's just one person's opinion. I know that's your parents, and I'm coming on strong with you, but listen, you're so afraid of failure because you're worried about the disapproval of other people. The Bible says that when you fear the disapproval of other people, you are a disabled person. I'm going to show you something real quick. The Bible says that worrying about the approval of other people is a spiritual trap, and the Bible calls it a disability. Now, I'm going to take another version of the Bible, but I want you to look at Proverbs real quick. Proverbs 29 and verse 25. Here's what another version says of this passage. The fear of human opinion disables. The fear of human opinion disables. In other words, it becomes a disability. And here's how most people think. Not all, but most think this. If I really went totally sold out for Jesus Christ, and if I took the vision that God has for my life, and if I went after my dream, what would other people think? And you're either going to fear other people or you're going to trust God. And those are your two options. Can I get three people in here to give me an amen?
Amen.
I'm going to say it again. You're either going to fear other people or you're going to trust God. Those are your two options. And here's what Bartimaeus said. He said, I don't care what the crowd thinks. I don't care what the crowd thinks. I don't care if they tell me to shut up and be quiet. I'm going after Jesus, and I'm going after my dream, and I'm going after my gold, and I'm the one that needs to be healed, and I want to see again, and I want my vision back. You just have to get to the place, look, I love you, Susie, but guess what? I need a healing in my body. Look, I love you, but I need God to come through in my finances. Look, I love you, but I got to go down to the front. I'll have some chains on me. I got to have a breakthrough. And you know what? It don't really matter really what you think. I'm not here to please you. I'm here to please Him. I'm not going to live my life in fear or the disapproval of people. God, have mercy. Set us free from all of that. Come on, somebody, take 5 seconds and give God your best praise. Come on, you can do better than that. Can I let you in on a little something? You know, here's what I want to tell you. You'd worry a whole lot less about what people think about you if you realize how little they do. I mean, I don't mean to be ugly, but really, to be honest, they're not thinking about you. They're thinking about themselves. And when they walk into some party, you know what? They're not thinking, oh, that's an ugly dress she's got on. You know what they're thinking? Hey, how do I look? That's what they're thinking. So they're not worried so much about you. They're not really thinking about you. They're thinking about themselves. So stop worrying about it. Can I talk to you a minute? Let's go back to the word. Notice verse 40 here. Verse 40, and so Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought to him. So if you want to get your vision back, one of the first things you got to do is know that God can change your situation. You got to know that, okay? Here's the third thing you got to do. You got to listen for God's call. Man, I don't have a lot of time, but I wish I did. But let me just say something about this call. We've made this calling deal a very supernatural deal, kind of mystical. You know, pastors are called, prophets, evangelists, missionaries are called, but I'm not called. Can I tell you that if everyone was called to be a pastor, there'd be a lot left undone? So guess what? I believe with all of my heart that this man I'm looking at, who is Jared Deal, I believe he's just as called to be a welder and to run that job as what I am called to be a pastor. I thought once upon a time I was called to be a musician, and I started singing and nobody liked it, and I realized that's not my calling. Because guess what? If you're called to do something, 9 times out of 10, you're good at doing it and people enjoy when you do it. We're making this calling a big deal that it's not a big deal. I believe with all of my heart that Steve, is called to work on trains. You say, I don't believe that. You know what? I do, because God is in his life and he's going to meet people I'll never meet. And because God is in his life, he's got a calling on his life, and he's going to be able to witness to those guys. And who knows, maybe some of those guys are going to come to church, not because of me, all because of the calling that's on Stephen's life. We got to get beyond this. You're called if you're a missionary. Everybody in this house is called. Every one of you are called. And you got to listen for that call, because that call is part of the vision in your life. Your calling and your vision match up. God called me to be a pastor, therefore he gave me the ability to teach. Does that make sense? You're called. Look at 3 people and tell them, you're called. And you know what? You're called. Here's the thing. He's calling. Are you picking up? He's got your number. He knows every hair on your head. It's all. He's got it all. He knows where you live, your number. He's calling. The question is, are you picking up? And some of you, oh, my Lord. Will y'all give me at least an hour today? Listen. He's wanting you, and you're saying, oh, I can't let God. Listen, if you let God catch you, all he's going to do is love you. It's not like he's going to kick you in your rear the whole time. God don't work that way. If you let God catch up with you, if you answer the call, yes, God, this is Carlton. What do you want? Son, I got a plan for your life that's going to blow your ever-loving mind. If you ever submit to it, it's the best thing in life. Oh, I don't want to submit to this. God may call me to Africa. If you don't want to go to Africa, God's probably not going to call you there. You know what? If my son said, you know what, Daddy, I can't stand UT. UT's the worst school ever. It may be what I like, but if he didn't want to go to UT, I'm not saying you're going to go to UT, bless God, because you said you didn't want to go. We get all these crazy ideas about God that he wants to make us. What? Oh, don't say that, because that's exactly what God will make you do. Sorry, I don't believe that. I don't. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't believe that. I believe he's a great heavenly father who wants to do you good. He loves you. He's got a past forgiven. He's got a purpose for living. He's got a home in heaven. He wants to do you good. Okay? Here's the number 4 thing. If you're going to get your vision back, you got to tell God exactly what you want. Now, I'm fixing to cross some minds here, but just stay with me. Just stay with me. This is exactly what Bartimaeus did. Jesus called him, and notice what it says in Luke 18 and 41, saying, here it is, what do you want me to do for you? He said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. I love this, y'all. Bartimaeus didn't go into a long laundry list of why he was blind. My daddy poked me in the eye. You know, my mama beat me upside my head with a skillet. He didn't do any of that. He just said, look here, Lord, I want to see. I want to see. I want to see. And guess what the Lord did? He said, okay, boom, receive your sight, 3 seconds, that simple, done. He told him what he wanted. Okay, y'all, stay with me. Here's what I don't understand. When we get ready to buy a new truck, this is what we say. We want a Ford F-150. We want a V8. We want it to have tan leather interior, power locks, power windows, power brakes. We know everything we want about it, and then that's the truck we get. We come to God, and God says, what do you want? And you're like, well, Lord, you know, Bartimaeus, ladies and gentlemen, didn't have to think about the answer. He had already thought about it. He knew exactly what he wanted. He said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. I want my vision back. Here's what I suggest. I suggest literally that you go home today and sit down and spend some time thinking about, where do I want to be in 2019 at the end of this year? Where do I want to be 5 years from now? Where do I want to be 10 years from now? Y'all, I don't have this all mapped out, but I can tell you where I want this church to go. I want to run 800. I believe we can. We can have 800 people on a Sunday morning, 2 services on a Sunday. We can have dynamic life groups, seeing signs, miracles, and wonders, making a huge impact on this city. I know. And some of you are so adept at picking out a truck or picking out a person. I want him to have black hair. I want him to have dreamy blue eyes. I want him to be 6'2" and weigh 175 pounds. I want him to come saucing in here like a boss. You know all of that. Seriously, you got that all figured out, but you won't take a little bit of time to figure out, hey, this is what I want. You got to take some time, ladies and gentlemen. Are y'all still with me? You got to ask yourself, where do you want to be financially? Where do you want your marriage to be? Where do you want your home life to be? Where do you want your kids to be? Where do you want to be in terms of your ministry that God's called you to? Where do I want to be in my relationships? What about my spiritual growth? Listen, if you don't plan it, it's not going to happen. People think, well, should I set goals? Yes, you should. Goals are faith statements. Say that with me. Goals are faith statements. The Bible says that God loves us when we trust Him. So He loves faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. So when I set a goal and say, Lord, I believe by the end of this year, you're going to help me to reach this level. You know what you're doing? You're inviting God and saying, God, I trust you. I can't do this by myself. I can't reach 800 people by myself. It ain't going to happen. But with the help of the Lord and with your help, we can do it together. But if we don't have a goal, the old saying is, if you don't know what you're aiming for, you can shoot anything. Right? So here, I highly recommend that you write down your vision. It makes it more clear. It makes it more specific. Obviously, Bartimaeus didn't write down his vision because he couldn't see. He couldn't write. But he was thinking about it his entire life. And Jesus comes up to him and says, what do you want? And he knew exactly what he wanted. Every time that God asks you a question, listen, it's not because He don't know the answer. The Lord didn't say, okay, Bartimaeus, tell me what you want, because I don't know. Let me come alongside you with something. Anytime God asks you a question, it's not for His benefit, it's for your benefit. So now, why did God ask Bartimaeus that question? Here's what I think. I think it took a lot of courage for Bartimaeus in front of all of that crowd, hundreds, maybe even thousands, to say in front of everybody, here's what I want, Lord, out loud, I want to be healed. Because first of all, he had to believe that the Lord could heal him. Right? And second, that Jesus loved him enough that he wanted to heal him. And you know what that is? That's a statement of faith. If Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen, were to walk in here today, and if I stood and I asked you to stand up and tell everybody what you want God to do in your life in the next 10 years, it would scare most of you to death. You would say, you know what? I'm not doing that. What if I say the wrong thing? What if I sound very self-centered? What if it's too personable? What if it's too big a request? And what will other people think? That's exactly what the Lord is asking you on the very first Sunday of 2019. He's asking you this question. What do you want me to do for you? Some of you, the Lord really wants you to get your vision back. You've lost it. And He wants you to get it back. But you know what? You got to know what you want. If you don't know what you want, then God, if He would have said, well, Lord, guess what? I really don't know what I want, but just help me. I don't know, but the Lord may have said, okay, son, God bless you. I'm going to be praying for you. And that's what a lot of people do. Well, maybe it's too big. Maybe it's too big for God. Okay, let me help you with something here. Very kindly. Here's what it says in Romans 8, and I believe verse 32, that God sent His own Son, right, to save you, okay? But delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him freely give us all things. Okay, now I want to break this down real quick. What does that mean? It means that if Jesus figured out a way to save you from hell, to cleanse you of your sins, and to place holiness upon you and his righteousness, and to give you a home in heaven, if he solved your biggest problem that you would ever have, then everything else is small potatoes. That's what that means. In other words, he said, you know what? I figured out how to redeem you from hell and take you to heaven. How to take an imperfect person, cover you with my grace, and save you. If I can do that, then guess what? I can freely, everybody say freely. I can freely, not stingy, but freely give you all things. Guess what? God wants to bless you. God wants you to get your vision back. He wants you to be the head and not the tail. He wants you to succeed financially. He wants you to think, you know what? This is going to be one of the greatest years of my life. I can do this. My marriage is going to get better. My finances are going to get better. My spiritual growth is going to get better. You got to know what you want. See, God is saying this in his word. Without a vision, what happens? The people perish. Have you ever bought some produce and left it too long? You know what it does? If it's left too long, it perishes. It gets ripe. And then you got to throw it out. That's what happens with people when they don't have a vision. If you don't have a vision and if you don't have a dream, then guess what? You sit, you get sour, and you soak. Can I say it again? You sit, you get sour, and you just soak up all the negativity. And you become somebody's personal dumping ground. Because now you're bitter. Because you don't know what you want. Because you lost your vision. Am I helping anybody? Am I helping anybody? I'm trying to hurry. See, Bartimaeus was not hesitant. He states his goal in faith. His goal, he states it in the public. He says, Lord, he said, I want to see. If you haven't leaned in, lean into this. Here's what I've learned. Secret faith is shallow faith. I'm going to say that again. Secret faith is shallow faith. You got to announce it publicly. Because when you announce it publicly, you take a stand. I never have to get up here and announce to you that we want to run 800. I never had to get up here and announce to you I want to earn my private pilot license. I want to finish that up. But when I do it publicly, then guess what? I've just made a statement of faith. And now I know that you're going to hold me accountable. And I have some of you saying, Pastor, how's your private pilot license going? But as long as you got a secret faith, it's going to be a shallow faith. You got to stand up and you got to say, you know what? I believe this year is the year my family's coming back. Come on, somebody. You got to be willing to stand up and say, you know what? I see myself healed. I'm not there yet, but I see myself healed. I'm living in a low-grade depression, but I see that chain of depression falling off of me this year. I see a smile coming back to my face and joy coming back into my heart. Come on, somebody. I'm talking about how to get your vision back. Then here's number five. You receive your vision in faith. That's what blind Bartimaeus did. He received it in faith. The Bible says, Jesus said to him, receive your sight, your faith. Everybody say, your faith. Your faith has done what? Has made you whole. Your faith has made you whole. And immediately the Bible said he received his sight. Notice this. This is very important. Bartimaeus did not have a relationship with Jesus. He was not his disciple. In fact, what we can gather from that is that's the very first time he ever met Jesus. See, you got to understand something. Miracles are not for the holy, they're for the hungry. See, that's why people, many Pentecostals get very upset. They've been serving God for 30 years. Little Susie Jane walks in her tank top in here and God heals her. And you've been looking all so sweet and serving God and doing what you thought was, you know, you got the elder brother syndrome mentality because you think that miracles are for the holy. They're not. They're for the hungry. Bartimaeus did not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's probably the first time he had ever met him. He had probably heard about him, but didn't know him. And so he hollers out, and the Lord says, okay, what do you want? He said, I want to be healed. Boom, you got it. He wasn't holy. He wasn't a disciple. He just told the Lord what he wanted. Some of y'all are afraid to tell God what you want. You'll go down to the truck store and tell them what you want. You'll sure tell your wife what you want. You better off too. But you're afraid to tell God what you want. Why? Because your faith is shallow. You don't want to make it public. You don't want to have anybody hold you accountable. Come on, make it public. That's one of the reasons why we baptize. Baptism is a number of things, but it's also a public confession of your faith. Can I keep preaching? Y'all, give me just a few more minutes. So here's what happened. The relationship came. The relationship came after the healing. It didn't come before, it came after. And the Lord can do the same thing in your life. So don't be afraid. Here's the last step, and this is actually how to keep your vision so you don't lose it again. Here's the last thing. Here's number six. Here's what Bartimaeus did. He stuck with Jesus on the road he traveled. Okay? If you want to keep your vision, you got to stay on the road with Jesus. Are you with me? That's exactly what happened to Bartimaeus. After he got his vision restored, the Bible says he began following Jesus on the road. So here we are, and I'm going to try to wrap this up real quick. Here's the most important question of the day. Come December of 2019, are you going to be sitting by the side of the road hoping that something good happens to you? Hoping that things change? Hoping that when your boat comes in, you're not at the airport? Hoping that your boss is just going to give you that raise? Hoping that life is going to change? Or you're going to do like Bartimaeus and say, guess what? Jesus, I'm going to follow you. And where you go, I'm going to go to. Because this is what I found out. He never leads me to a dead end. Oh, hallelujah. I've made choices in my life, and I find myself coming back, meeting myself, but not with Jesus. When you get on the road with Jesus, he's going to lead you somewhere. Can I get a witness here? And if you don't want to lose your vision, you got to get on the road with Jesus. And if not, you're going to be sitting on the side of the road this time, next year, still wanting the same thing, still hoping that things are going to change. And you got to say, I want to follow Jesus. And if you say that, here's the answer. You say, Pastor, how do I follow Jesus? Well, it's real simple. You take one step at a time. I love this saying, inch by inch, life's a cinch. Mile by mile, life's a trial. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Oh, I sure hope I don't sin tomorrow. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about sinning tomorrow. That ain't no big deal. Keep your eye on Jesus. Keep walking with Jesus. Living your life a mile at a time. I remember I told one of the guys in the church, I said, you know how you can get through a very foggy night? Just let your headlights go 150 yards at a time. I don't have to know a mile down the road, just 150 yards. If I just keep walking, the Lord is going to get you there. Just keep walking. Look at your neighbor, tell him, keep walking. Just stay with Jesus. Just stay with Jesus. Just stay with Jesus. You don't take side trips. You don't take field trips. You don't go smoke some pot and smoke drugs and say, hey, well, I'm going to take a little break here and I'll catch up with Jesus later. Pass the doobie on the ref. You don't do any of that. No, you don't. You look unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of your faith. You just keep looking to him. See, y'all help me. You get to looking at people, people are going to let you down. I promise you, they're going to do it. How many times? 10 out of 10, they're going to let you down. You know why? Because God's going to make sure. Because he don't want you to put your trust and confidence in people. Do we love people? Yes. Do we follow leaders? Yes. But God is our source. We stay on the road following Him. That's how you make it, ladies and gentlemen. You keep your eyes off of people. You keep your eyes looking on Jesus. I'm going to keep following Him on the road. And how do you do it? You follow Him at a step at a time. Following Jesus implies movement. He's moving. So you can decide, I'm going to just sit here and God will let you do that. I have so much to say. Y'all give me some more minutes. I'm putting another quarter in the meter. Listen, I'm putting another quarter in the meter. Listen, you got to decide, not God. Listen to me. You got to decide, do I want a bag blessing? Do I want a basket blessing? Do I want a bushel blessing? Or do I want a barn blessing? You say, well, God determines that. I'm going to come against that. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. You know what? If you decide, I'm going to drive a hoopy all my life, God ain't going to say, well, I'm going to just send you down an F-150 King Ranch because I just don't want you to drive. God ain't going to do that. Guess what? If you decide you want to drive a hoopy all your life, you can drive a hoopy. You can drive a Bondo buggy, and God ain't going to get mad. He ain't going to send one out of heaven to you. If you decide, you know what, all I feel like I'm worth is $6 an hour, then guess what? That's all you'll earn. And it ain't God's mad. It ain't that you're a bad person. It ain't that you're going to be saved. You're going to be saved. You can be saved driving a hoopy, making $6 an hour. Well, we think some stuff that's just not true. You have to decide what you want. God didn't wake me up one day and say, hey, I want you to fly a plane. He didn't. He don't care. Do you want to fly a plane, Wayne? Yeah. Well, learn how to do it then. Just be real safe. Because what comes up must come down. Just make sure you land it right. You can't say something.
Yes, he has.
Amen. Thank you, Becky. Beautiful. Let's all stand together. I'm going to close with these two questions. So number one, what's your next step? Because guess what? God can't answer a dream if you don't have one. And God can't fulfill your vision if you don't have a vision. And God can't answer your prayers and help you if you don't reach out with some goals. Say, God, here it is, Lord, and I know I can't do this without you. So here's my question. Number one, what's your next step? Brothers and sisters, it's not by accident that you're here. God knew that you were going to be here this morning and hear this message. So right now, say, Will, I don't know what it is. Well, I'll tell you this. It's whatever you know to do that you haven't done already. That's your next step. Y'all stay with me. If you know that you need to forgive somebody, that's your next step. You need to go and forgive them today. It may be, for some of you, it may be starting to give your tithe and offerings. You may have never done that. That may be your next step. You may need to take that step in faith. For some of you, it may be going to somebody and saying, look, you've hurt me, and I just want to make it right. I don't want to have anything against you. That could be your very next step. It might be, some of you, the Lord's been speaking to you about getting baptized. And you may need to take that next step to say, you know what? I think I need to get baptized. It might be that some of you in here need to break up with somebody. Here's what I found out. It's not always drugs and alcohol. Many times it's the wrong people. And you might need to say, you know what? I love you, but I just can't be with you right now. I got to spend some time with God. Here's the next step. Some of you, you might need to join a life group. Because guess what? You're trying to do life by yourself, and that's going to fail miserably. You can't do that by yourself. So I want you to think about this. Bartimaeus, when he got up that morning, it was no different than any other morning. He didn't know that the Savior of the world was going to walk by him. He didn't know that his answer to his prayers was going to show up that morning. He didn't know. It was just like any other day. He was going to go to that gate and he was going to beg. But guess what? One encounter with God totally changed his life. And he didn't let it passing by. He didn't blow it off and said, hey, I don't really know what I want. It don't matter anyway. I'm going to ask you, if you would, to bow your heads, please. What's the next step in your life? What do you really want? Do you even know what that is? I would tell you and encourage you, please don't procrastinate. Please don't say, well, tomorrow. Hey, you know what? The truth is, none of us have hope of tomorrow. Why don't you get up right now on this Sunday morning, the very first Sunday of 2019, why don't you get up and say, you know what? I'm not going to sit here on the side of the road. I'm going to get up and I'm going to follow Jesus.
We pray that today's message has blessed you. For more about TPC DeQuincy, go to our website, tpcdq.church. Please join us Wednesday night at 7 p.m., Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Sunday night at 6 p.m. TPC is located at 301 West 4th Street in DeQuincy. TPC, loving God and loving people.